This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 14, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, August 14, 2014, which will now come to order. Madam Secretary, is Commissioner Peterson on the line?
I believe he is, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Welcome, Matt. I hope you're enjoying Utah.
Been an enjoyable stay.
Start the meeting. I'd like to recognize the Vice Chair for our motion on late submitted documents.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to adopt agenda document number 14-37, minutes for the open session held on July 23rd, 2014. Oh, did you say late submitted documents?
Late submitted.
Oh, could we do this one first?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
For the minutes?
Absolutely. Okay, then the first item on today's agenda is the correction and approval of the minutes for July 23, 2014.
Right. I previously made the motion to adopt agenda document number 14-37, minutes for the open session held on July 23rd, 2014.
Any comments, questions, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion passes by a vote of 6-0.
Okay.
Now, a motion on late submitted documents.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document number 14-40, draft A of AO 2014-07, crowd pack. Agenda document number 14-40A, draft B of AO 2014-07, crowd pack. Agenda document number 14-39, draft AO 2014-10, FAR. Agenda document number 14-41, draft AO 2014-09, Reed Marketing Consultants. And agenda document number 14-42, future meeting dates.
Any questions or comments regarding late submitted documents? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Okay, the second item on our formal agenda is draft advisory opinion 2014-07 crowd pack. And I believe we have Theo Lutz and Amy. Is Amy Rothstein here? No, just you, Theo, today? Okay. And I want to welcome Tyler Hagenbuck and Ben Ginsburg, counsels for the requester, who I believe are available here today to answer any questions. Mr. Hagenbuck and Mr. Ginsburg, if you'd like to come up to the table just in case there are any questions. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Mr. Lutz, would you like to give a presentation of this advisory opinion request?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 14-40 and 40-A contain two draft responses to an advisory opinion request by CrowdPack. CrowdPack, a for-profit corporation, proposes to offer to the public a web-based platform through which users can contribute to federal candidates. Both drafts conclude that, under the Act, CrowdPack may 1. Offer its services without making contributions to candidates, 2. Permit users to contribute to prospective candidates or eventual party nominees, 3. Permit candidates to post videos on its website, and 4. Use certain data derived from reports filed with the Commission. The drafts differ, however, and the draft A concludes the CrowdPack may not post on its website the names, cities, and states of contributors drawn from Commission reports, while draft B concludes the CrowdPack may do so. The Commission received no comments on the request or on either draft. Additionally, if the Commission approves the response, we request authority to make technical and conforming changes. Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments of Mr. Lutz or of the requesters? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, gentlemen. Welcome, Mr. Ginsburg. You're an old hand here. I think, Mr. Hagenbuck, this may be your first appearance before us. So,
my first.
Welcome. We'll try not to make it too painful for you. I think that the proposal that your client has put before us is a really intriguing one and a creative one, and it's got a lot of positive aspects to it. It seems like it's designed to increase political participation, it's a new venue for providing information to voters and donors, seems designed to try and attract more small donors and to move more money from those small donors to candidates who are the most transparent and accountable players in the political system. And the platform, which will have a page for every candidate and will also allow the candidates to submit information for that, strikes me as one that is conducive to candidates providing an affirmative case for themselves, making a case based on their positions and their and what they hope to accomplish to try and attract voters and donors in a way that I think will be refreshing to a lot of people who are turned off by the incessant barrage of 30-second attack ads. So this is another way of getting information and perhaps one that will be appealing to different category of people. So all of that is very encouraging and exciting, and I think it's good for the commission to be promoting new and innovative ways of reaching out to voters and to donors. And I think most of the questions that you ask draw on established guidance that the commission has already issued to other requesters, so many of the answers are very easy. The one that I think potentially breaks new ground concerns the use of the donor information, the names and the cities and states of actual donors on a platform that is also raising funds. There's a donate button on every single candidate page, and I think you recognize that does at least implicate the sale or use provision of the statute that says that the information copied from our reports or statements may not be sold or used by any person for the purposes of soliciting contributions or for commercial purposes. And I think that one way of reading that statute would say that you can't use that information in the way that's proposed in this request. But the reason we have two drafts, really the fundamental difference between the two drafts, is that one says yes to that question and one says no to that question. The no relying, you know, pretty much on the words of the statute and the regulation, and the yes looking more at some of the legislative history and the cases and some of our earlier AOs. So I think the commission could choose either path. And for my purposes, it would be helpful to me to know more about exactly how you're going to use the donor information. It seems like it's based on the same kind of model that some of the online retailers use. If you liked this product, then you might like that product because other people who have liked this product have also liked that product. But when retailers do it, they don't name the actual other customers. If I'm on a store website, it might say other customers who bought this pair of pants also bought this blouse, but they don't say Jane McGillicuddy from Phoenix bought this blouse and pant combination together. But you, it seems, your client wants to actually name the names of the donors, at least in some instances. So can you give me more information about exactly how they want to use that and how that's important to what they're trying to accomplish here?
Sure. It's an excellent question. I think draft B was more persuasive than draft A, but that's just me.
I may end up agreeing with you.
Let me say that overall, this is a really fresh and innovative technique, and it is designed to get small dollar donors involved in the process in a way that they're not before by providing them information in really a new and different way. It is what's been, I think, really interesting and rewarding for us to work on this project is the way it's brought together the innovation of Silicon Valley and the technical expertise, as well as what the algorithm that was developed by a brilliant young political scientist at Stanford named Adam Bonica. And that's what the algorithm is, and that's the way the information will be used. The reason that they want to use just the names and cities of the people, is to provide a large degree of authenticity and knowledge to people using the site that the algorithm works. In other words, it is a verification process so that people can see, really an act of transparency, see the algorithm and its functionality and how it does provide the information that they're looking for. And certainly it is not designed as a solicitation tool. In fact, the information that they'll put up is not really sufficient to solicit anybody. You don't have the personal information. Your advisory opinions that have prohibited the use of information on the grounds of sale and use is all about those donors being barraged. That's not the case here. That's not the function of this. It's not the purpose of it at all. Tyler, do you want to anything to that?
No, that's
so. How does it function how does it verify the algorithm by using the actual names?
Well, the algorithm is all designed, and again, it's a very innovative technique that is based on the fact that the most predictive indicator of the way an individual will vote once elected to an office is where that person's donations have come from, as well as what donations that person makes to other candidates. And so the algorithm is designed to pull up that information, and so you will be able to see through the way the algorithm is displayed and the names are displayed who the people are. If you go on the CrowdPack website, you'll see a very interesting and intriguing spider map.
Yes.
Which allows someone going on the site to see an individual candidate and a donor and to see the links, so that by being able to look at Ellen Weintraub has given to X candidate, not that you would give to any candidates, but
I don't.
You will also see what other candidates you have, so that there will be the sort of wisdom of crowds about giving the donor greater knowledge about the candidate he or she is going to support.
Okay, I was a little bit confused when I looked at that graphic, the spider map. To me, it looks kind of like a tree with branches waving around in the wind. But
it's a Rorschach test for commissioners.
I guess so. The supplement to your request says CrowdPack may display contribution information compiled from reports filed with the commission as part of CrowdPack's disclosure of the inputs and functionality of its algorithm. But it says that'll be separate from the information that's displayed on the candidate pages. But when I look at the actual CrowdPack site, it looks like it is on the candidate pages. I was trying to figure out whether that spider map is that illustrative? Is that an example? Are there going to be other ways that you're going to use the data, that CrowdPack is going to use the data?
Yeah, part of the way, if you look at the candidate pages, there's a vertical line that that goes from liberal to conservative.
Right.
And so the algorithm will help to put that dot on where the person stands on issues, so that the tree map is designed to sort of further amplify who the people are that are supporting them. So it is illustrative as opposed to definitive.
And for the donors that are identified, the way it's set up on the site right now, it's the top 10 donors to each candidate. Is that the plan, or are there going to be other ways that the donor information is going to be used?
That is the plan. I mean, these are very bright and innovative minds, so I would not say that what is up there now is locked in concrete forevermore, but that is the plan as of now.
And it looked like some of those donors had given to more, some of them are very big donors and have given to a lot of candidates, and not all of the candidates that they've given to were on highlighted in one of those circles on the map. And I wasn't sure whether that was, again, a design or whether it's just because they're still in development.
I believe the answer to that is still in development, with the caveat that, especially in light of some recent Supreme Court decisions, that page could get really, really crowded if you looked at every candidate they'd given to, so that there is probably a point where it's too jammed up and not illustrative, so that there could be some pullback. Again, the summation of that will be on the candidate's specific page, where they're rated between 10 liberal, 10 conservative.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of CrowdPAC exercising discretion over which of the other candidates that were supported by donors to this particular candidate, to the extent there's some selection process going on, if it gets to be too big a number, is that going to be on, are they going to develop sort of objective criteria, you know, the people they've given the most money to, or is that going to be left to the discretion of whoever is working on the page?
I'm sure the answer is yes. I mean, I think that's, I'm not sure I know the precise answer to that yet, and I'm not sure they do as well.
So it's, you think it's important, or CrowdPAC thinks it's important to the way they present their information to actually use real names, that as opposed
sure.
to, you know,
yeah.
John from Cincinnati, they need the whole name for verification purposes?
Well, verification purposes and credibility purposes also. I mean, I think it's a fair statement that will provide greater certainty of the accuracy of the algorithm if there are people who are there.
Well, I think your algorithm has its work cut out for it, because you know, it seems like one of the premises of the algorithm is that people give to candidates who they think represent their ideal policy positions if they were all to be implemented. And I think the reasons that people give are more complicated, and the names that are already up on the website demonstrate that. There's a donor on one of those pages who gave to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, George Bush, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, Rudolph Giuliani, and Ralph Nader. So I don't know what your algorithm is going to make of a donor like that, and what other donors should derive from that. You know, two of the donors gave to both Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid.
Yeah, so it'll provide information to somebody making a decision about, you know, more information is more power, and the ability to understand more. So we have a wealth of information that innovative techniques like this can use to actually bring more small dollar donors into the process.
And again, because this is the place where it's I think venturing into new territory in terms of the law. Not you know, there's a lot of innovation in the concept, but for our purposes, it's where it intersects with the law that we have to be concerned about. When I go to the shopping websites, I sort of take it as a given that they're giving me the accurate information, or maybe I don't care as much on a shopping website as to whether actual customers really did. There really are customers out there who matched up, you know, these two shopping items, or who read this book and then bought this other book. But CrowdPAC thinks that for its credibility, it really needs to use the names. That's an important
yes.
feature.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it. It's helpful.
Yep.
Any other questions? Commissioner Walther.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the Office of General Counsel. You've heard, you know, since this draft day was prepared out of your office, some of the arguments on the other side, and what your view is now in terms of that particular issue.
Well, I think, Commissioner, ODC provided the commission with advice regarding this issue for deliberations prior to the open session. I hesitate, because of privilege issues, to reiterate the guidance that OGC gave. I will if the commission wishes us to, but...
Well, most of this comes right out of your office, and, so I assume that you prepare what you believe your advice is, unless it said otherwise. So, I mean, when you usually defend your position in the documents you provide to the commission. So I'm just wondering, in this particular case,
I think
you prepared language to the effect that CrowdPAC's proposed display on its website of identifying information taken from reports filed with the commission is, quote, for the purpose of soliciting contributions, unquote. As such, this contributor information is prohibited by the Act and Commission regulations. is that your view? Is that the one that you think we, as a commission, should support?
I think the way that Commissioner Weintraub posed the issue is accurate. On the one hand, you have a statute that says you cannot use certain information taken from commission reports for the purposes of soliciting contributions. And that's what the statute says. And that's what Draft A relies on. There have then been interpretations of that by the commission that have arguably read the word solicitation to mean certain types of solicitation, not others, and that's what Draft B relies on. And so the question before the commission is which of those approaches to follow.
Well, I'm aware of that. I just wonder at this point, is it this case that the office doesn't have any advice one way or the other on the subject?
If I might jump in, if you don't mind, Commissioner Walther. I think, as you know, unlike the enforcement process where OGC provides some more steadfast recommendation, in the AO process, they kind of put thoughts out there and we coalesce around one or another. And the Office of General Counsel has actually been very helpful to our office in formulating this parts of this advisory opinion that are now public. I'm not saying they endorse it fully, but we've had some good conversations. And I think that, at least from my perspective, there might be a different way of looking at it than what the OGC may have originally sent to us a few weeks ago, which is looking at this tool as a little bit more of an informational tool for individuals using the data, as opposed to, for example, a company directly using the information to allow others to solicit. And I think maybe that's a little bit more of the way some of the other drafts looked at it, whereas we're looking at it more as an informational aspect for people who are interested in learning more about federal candidates.
Well, I'm just curious to know if your opinion is consistent with Draft A, or do you have any opinion at all on the legality of what's being proposed in this particular part of it. I mean, I have the same concerns, these questions that Commissioner Weintraub has. The rest of it, I think it's quite creative. It's really pretty interesting, and I think it's a nice step forward. But I am concerned about these issues.
So let me, can I?
Well, you
just, I guess refine his question a bit and ask it a different way.
Do you see an answer to my own question?
Yeah,
I don't. You can then refine it afterward, I think.
Okay,
I appreciate that.
Both drafts.
I realize it's kind of blunt, but the question is, do you support your language here?
Both drafts reflect a view of the law that OGC believes is reasonable, and reasonable people could differ on which is the better view.
That answers my question. That's exactly how I was going to pose it. Thank you. Vice Chair Rabel.
I'd just like to say and reiterate what you have said to the commission, Mr. Ginsburg, but also what others have said here today, and that is that I'm really impressed by the innovative way that you have chosen and CrowdPAC has chosen to provide information about candidates and their positions on issues to increase involvement in the political process. And the information that you're providing is provided whether or not someone decides to press the donate button, and I think it has value in and of itself. And frankly, with respect to the names of those donors, that's what we provide, and that's why we provide it, for that exact same reason. It's to provide information that's valuable to the public when they go to the polls or when they make decisions if they want to join with or contribute to a candidate. And those are the things that I think are salutary purposes for this commission to endorse, because that's what we want to encourage. We want to encourage more people in this country to be interested in the political process and get the information they need to make good decisions when they vote. So I am favorable, of course, to Draft B. I think that Draft B is what really fulfills what this commission is all about, and I'm really excited to see the innovation that has been done by your clients. And I am also glad, assuming that Draft B is the draft that is ultimately approved by this commission, that we could work together to encourage innovation.
Yeah. I'd like to associate myself with those comments, as well as the point made by Commissioner Hunter on the technical legal point on what the distinction here is between the commercial use in order to generate solicitations versus selling a service which is an informational service to individual voters and citizens that empowers them. If I'm an individual citizen, I can fight through all the data on the FEC's website myself to try to find contributors that might influence me. I can tell you, coming from Virginia politics for years, the press tried to perform this service for people for free, and every year they would tell you who Pat Robertson gave to, as if that might influence who you might want to support. Here, I can employ your service to help synthesize some of that data for me. Your customer is the citizen, and you're helping the citizen make some sense of the data on the FEC's website. And I don't think we have to force you to just have a link to the FEC's website to go get your own data. I think you can use that in an algorithm to inform the individual citizen. And I think that's a different use of this data than what is contemplated to be prohibited under the Act, which is actually soliciting the people who show up on the reports or selling the information as a commercial product in and of itself. So that's why I want to associate myself with those comments supporting Draft B here today. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with all of that, and that's that. It was helpful to me to get a little bit more information about how the information is going to be used, but I do think that it's creative and innovative, and I hope it works. You know, rich people can hire political consultants to advise them on who they ought to direct their giving to, but this is sort of an everyman's political consultant website. They can become their own. They can use this data to try and get that same kind of insights. And I hope it. As I said, I think it's complicated, but I kind of hope it works. And I hope that it does end up encouraging more people to get involved, because that would be a good thing for everyone. I do have one other question, and I realize that I just wanted to clarify. So the use of the donor names, that's going to be exclusively on the website itself, right? Because the website also collects email addresses, and presumably some information is going to be emailed directly to individual users. But I take it the plan is not to incorporate this kind of donor information into the individualized emails to people?
Correct.
Okay. Because I think that potentially could implicate some of the privacy concerns that were underlying the sale or use provision, but that's helpful to me. I'm ready to make a motion anytime you want to entertain it,
Commissioner Walther.
Another question: is there any? It's silent here in terms of employer information. Is that going to be excluded from any part of this algorithm?
That is not part of the plan to put on the website now.
Yes, it won't be on.
Anyone who wants to know that can go to the FEC to find it.
All right.
Any other questions or comments of commissioners? Commissioner Peterson, I don't mean to exclude you if you had any questions or comments.
anything further than what's been added, other than to say that I plan on supporting draft B as well.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub, motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a slight edit to that I'm going to propose to draft B, because we realized that we were inconsistent in the language that we used, and we wanted to be consistent and be consistent with the request. So I move to adopt draft B of advisory opinion 2014-07 CrowdPAC. As set forth in, let's see which agenda document is this, as set forth in agenda document 14-40A, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
With the following edits, at the end of the sentence on page 1, lines 21 to 24, that states CrowdPAC may display on its website the names, cities, and states of individual contributors identified from commission reports, and the sentence on page 15, lines 3 to 5, that also states CrowdPAC
may... I'm sorry, where was the second location?
The sentence on page 15.
Page 15.
Lines 3 to 5, that states CrowdPAC may display the names, cities, and states of individual contributors drawn from reports filed with the commission. We would add the following for the purpose of explaining the functionality of the algorithm. Again, matching it up to the request and to language in another place in the AO, that we would otherwise authorize counsel to make technical and conforming edits. And I think that's it.
Madam Secretary, you have the motion. Are there any comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote. All in favor of the pending motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed?
I said aye.
The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Hagenbuch, Mr. Ginsburg, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll move to item 3 on the agenda today, draft advisory opinion 2014-09, Reed Marketing Consultants, Inc. I believe we have Esther Jory and Bob Knopp. Bob, you're here? Of the Office of General Counsel. And I'd like to invite Mr. Bill McGinley, counsel for the requester, who's available to answer any questions if commissioners have any. And Ms. Jory, are you going to make a presentation?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chairman Goodman.
Thank you.
And good morning, commissioners. Agenda document 14-41 is a draft advisory opinion in response to an advisory opinion request from Reed Marketing Consultants, Incorporated. The requester is a marketing consulting firm that specializes in financial services and credit card businesses. The requester asks whether its proposed development and marketing of an affinity credit card program for political committees is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. The draft advisory opinion concludes that the proposed activity is permissible because the requester would provide its services to political committees at the usual and normal charge for such services, and because any contributions forwarded to political committees under the proposed program would consist only of cardholders' funds. Furthermore, the proposed solicitation sent to prospective cardholders would contain the appropriate disclaimers under the Act and Commission regulations. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. If the Commission votes to approve the draft, we ask for authority to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Thank you, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Mr. McGinley, you brought another counsel with you, and I'm sorry I didn't recognize her. Could you?
I did. This is Annie Donaldson, who also works with us at the law firm at Jones Day.
Welcome, Ms. Donaldson.
Thank you.
Are there any questions of the requesters? Any comments of commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-09, Reed Marketing Consultants, I move that the Commission approve agenda document number 14-41 and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any necessary and technical and conforming edits.
Madam Secretary, you have the motion. And are there any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Easy lifting for
Thank
you today,
you.
Mr. McGinley. Thank you. Ms. Donaldson, welcome. The next item on today's agenda, item 4, is Draft Advisor Opinion 2014-10, Joan Farr for U.S. Senate. Joanna Waldstreicher, Joanna, nice to see you. And Bob, you're still with us? And I'd like to, I believe we have, do we have Joan Farr available on telephone?
I believe we do, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Farr, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Welcome, Ms. Farr.
Thank you.
And she's available to answer any questions. Let's see. Ms. Waldstreicher, do you have a presentation?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 14-39 is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Joan Farr. Ms. Farr is an independent candidate for the U.S. Senate from Oklahoma. And she asks whether her principal campaign committee may use campaign funds to purchase copies of a book authored by Ms. Farr for distribution to the committee's contributors at a standard discounted rate. The draft concludes that the campaign committee may purchase the books because the expenditure would be in connection with Ms. Farr's election and would not result in conversion of campaign funds to personal use. And the discounted rate would not constitute a contribution to the committee because the same rate would be available to any other person purchasing the same quantity. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. I would ask that if the draft is approved, that we receive authority to make any technical conforming changes. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments of commissioners for either Office of General Counsel or Ms. Farr? Hearing none, is there a motion?
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-10, Farr, I move that the Commission approve agenda document number 14-39 and authorize the Office of the General Counsel to make any necessary technical and conforming edits.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Ms. Farr, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Item number 5 on the agenda today is Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum of the Nebraska Democratic Party, and I believe we have Sherilyn Thomas and Susanna Patius who are going to make a presentation of the Audit Division. Welcome and thank you. Let's see, Ms. Patius, are you going to make this presentation?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division recent approved memorandum.
Wait one second.
Thank you. Concerning finding 1, record keeping for employees of the Nebraska Democratic Party. In finding 1, we inadvertently included the amounts for contract workers, totaling $17,826, and we need to remove this amount. Thank you.
Thank you. And this was subject of a prior commission action?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And then after there was commission action on this issue, the dollar figures were not backed out?
Correct.
Okay. Commissioner Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to foreclose discussion, but I can make some motions if you're interested.
Do you want to be recognized for comment or for motions?
Well, the comment is just that, you know, we need to fix the finding, and I will be separately making a motion on the contract worker issue that we deal with from time to time.
Usual one.
Just to maintain consistency.
Okay.
Usual motion.
Usual motions. We'll go through the motions.
Yes, we'll go through the motions. Some of them will actually succeed.
Okay.
So the first motion is in A11-18, Nebraska Democratic Party. I move that the Commission rescind approval of the motion that was approved at the open meeting on April 23rd, 2014 by a vote of 6-0 with respect to finding 1, record keeping for employees.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Another motion.
Another motion. Motion 2 in A11-18, Nebraska Democratic Party. I move approval of revised finding 1, record keeping for employees, as set forth in agenda document number 14-38, subject to an amendment to include the $25,428 paid to contract workers.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? My only comment is that, you know, we've crossed this bridge, and I understand you want to maintain your integrity on this issue. So we'll go to a vote on this one. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say no.
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 No. The motion fails by a vote of 3-3. And is there another motion?
I believe Commissioner Hunt is going to make
Commissioner
the
Hunt.
Thanks.
In A11-18, I move approval of the revised finding 1 as set forth in agenda document 14-38.
Any questions or comments regarding this motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Item 6 on our agenda is discussion and approval of the last quarter 2014 meeting dates of the commission. Are there any questions or comments regarding the proposed calendar? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Before we come to a close of this open meeting, I note that Mr. Doyle is here, and for anybody else in attendance, and certainly for Mr. Doyle's benefit, I'd just like this morning to announce that Vice Chair Ravel and I will announce that on September 17, the FEC is to host an informal public forum to hear ideas from the public and discuss how the agency can update, enhance, and improve our website and the information that we present on our website for public use. We've just had a presentation today about a private proprietary service that's going to provide enhanced use of the data for the public. Well, it is a first obligation of the agency to do that as well, and so we're endeavoring to do that. Now, as you're aware, the FEC has been in an ongoing effort to improve and enhance our IT generally, and this is one segment of that. We, our IT department, under the direction of Mr. Palmer, rolled out a new enterprise search function earlier this year, and so this is part of an ongoing effort to improve our public disclosure mission here at the Federal Election Commission. And a key part of that is a website redesign effort to hear from FEC data users and the public directly. And so on September 17, we will have a forum here at the Commission and open to both the public and the press. And it will consist of two parts. One, an open discussion with commissioners and senior staff about what the press, what the public, what the interest groups who use our data on a day-to-day basis would like to see in a new website, and then followed by working group breakout sessions with commission staff moderated by an organization called 18F. Which is a newly formed organization within the General Services Administration, and they are helping us design and build an intuitive, customer-focused website. I want to thank Vice Chair Ravel for her leadership in this effort. She's really the moving force behind this, and I'd like to thank Alec Palmer and his IT team of professionals for their hard work in improving our IT and for leading this project as well. Vice Chair Ravel, would you like to speak to this?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I believe that this event, not just the forum, but going forward, marks a really big step forward for the Commission, and I am really pleased to be able to work together with you. I think that is a very important thing for the Commission to improve our website and understanding the need to improve our website. And I also do want to thank Mr. Palmer and the Commission staff that's been working on this already and helping to move this forward with such alacrity. It's been really exciting and really great to work with them all, and as well as 18F, who's partnering with us on the initiative and has been working with us. As you know, my view is disclosure, and the disclosure that this commission does is absolutely central to the commission's mission, so it's really critical that we find better ways to deliver campaign finance information to the public. And that was something that we saw right away, and I think it's great. This effort will really make a lot of strides in doing that. Not only do we want to improve the look and feel of the website, but also to make the campaign data much more available to the public in a way that is usable, understandable, accessible, easy to manipulate. All the things that Mr. Ginsburg's clients are so adept at is what we would like to see on our commission website. So I want to encourage everybody in the community and the public to please come to our forum and give us your input and participate. Thank you.
So, Mr. Doyle, your charge is to advertise that for us. And it will be beginning at 10 a.m. here on September 17. Do you want me to repeat that? Anybody else like to comment on that before we close this open session?
Okay. Looking forward to it.
That brings us to item 7. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters which the commission must address today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. The commission will now take a brief 15-minute recess, and we will return to take up certain matters in executive session. Thank you all.